Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1, KGMZ San Francisco, a radio.com station.
The Raiders are off across the pond. I believe they officially leave tonight to talk about that and everything that happened last week and is going to happen this week. In the NFL, you can find him on NFL Network, NFL Total Access, former quarterback, number one overall pick of the bunch, David Carr, joining us here on 95.7 The Game. David, in your playing days, did you ever get shipped overseas to play a game?
We did. I was actually overseas one time. I enjoyed it. I thought it was a really cool experience. I don't know if it would be something that, you know, a team would like to do every week. I know there's talk about a team being in London, but it definitely is a really, really cool experience. And I remember, you know, just our time walking around Piccadilly Square and kind of just getting the feel of the UK and that vibe over there was definitely an experience. We ended up practicing on a, over at a hotel slash resort. I don't know if you can call it that, but there was this huge like grass pasture and they ended up finishing mowing it that day we showed up. And it was basically just a cattle pasture or goat pasture, and we practiced on that. But it was a really cool experience. Just something that you just don't get that over here in the state. So it's cool for everyone to get a chance to go do it at least once.
You know, there's a lot of talk about the Raiders and when they left and should they have left earlier. I think they might have if they're 5-0. They go over there and get all the media, and you're the international ambassador. I wonder if they didn't leave a little later in the week just to hide Gruden from having to do a whole bunch of press at 1-4.
Maybe we just don't want him to say as much, you know, and he's still a media guy. So it's going to be a while before he develops his Belichick personality that he's able to put out there. But I think you're probably right. I mean, there's probably a little bit to that because there is a lot of media there. I know I've obviously had a chance to be in the Super Bowl and there was a lot of media that kind of rolled around at that time, but it's not that much different when you go over to London because, you know, they have the access to the players and they want to do as many face-to-face one-on-ones as they can. So you find yourself doing a lot of media over there. And it's not that it's a bad thing. I mean, people are excited over there to watch football and have it be in their backyard, but it can be overwhelming. But so that there's probably some truth to that.
Goal line interceptions get people complaining all week long. And obviously, you know, Derek can't be happy leading the NFL with 8, but that one that he threw in the end zone certainly sticks out. I want to throw the ball if I'm a quarterback all the time, too. And I don't think I'd be audibling into too many running plays if I get a chance to up my stats either. But Marshawn Lynch is standing behind me. I might think about that if my head coach hadn't.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things that's it's kind of a difficult situation because you're in a goal line set. And so when you go out there and you run three tight ends out there and you run and you're in your goal line package, there aren't a ton of audibles available for you. I can't think of any audibles that I ever had on the goal line when you're in that personnel group. You know, the one with Marshawn and Russell Wilson in the Super Bowl, you know, he was in a three wide receiver set. So you have the option of handing the football off. You have the option of throwing it. You know, right there, you're kind of at the mercy of the call. And not to say that it was John's fault, because I think there's blame everywhere. You know, honestly, when you come off of that play-action fake, and if it's first and goal and you want a play-action pass, guys do it all the time. Fine, do it. Your first tight end gets kind of caught up. He's not open. The other two guys get jammed. Cook gets jammed off the line. You're trying to hit, I can't remember if it was Jordy or if it was another tight end in the back of the end zone he was trying to throw the football to. But Ingram fell off. And I can see where Derek was thinking about throwing it in there. But honestly, and Derek will be the first one to tell you, that ball should just go right to the uprights. And it's 2nd and 1, and you hand it off to Marshawn, you score a touchdown, it's 20-10, you're back in the game. But it didn't happen. It's a bad mistake. Obviously, Derek would love to have that one back. I think he would have made their whole week a lot better. But it's one of those things that does happen. You know, you just got to learn from it. And the relationship between John and Derek has to continue to grow. And I know they've had great conversations this week in general about where their offense is going. And that's really all they can focus on. And the decision-making and the playmaking ability that they have. It just has to get better. Their defense, it's no secret, the defense isn't very good right now, and they're going to have to play perfect football and score a lot of points. So that's only happening, you know, by about a handful of teams in the league right now, and they have to be one of them if they want to try and get in the win column more often than not.
If the Queen of England had an audience with John Gruden, do you think she would ask him about the Mac trade?
Absolutely. Well, I mean, and she should. I think anybody that has an audience with Gruden should ask him about the Mac trade. But I think we might have done it over here, so maybe it's time for him to get a little bit over the pond.
David Carr here on 95.7 The Game. Obviously, the Seattle Seahawks are not who they used to be at home, and they're really not who they used to be when you take them out on the road. What kind of Seattle team do you think the Raiders run into in London? Do you give the Silver and Black a shot?
I do give them a shot just because of the fact that it is in London, and I've seen some crazy things happen in London. I've seen teams that shouldn't be anywhere near beating football teams, and they go out there and they play just incredible. And there's other teams that go over there and they're just absolutely flat. So there's a lot of variables when you're traveling from Seattle and from Oakland out there. Man, you just don't know. You really do. And we aren't going to know until we turn on the TV and we start watching these guys play. And it's just going to be one of those things that usually you see one of the teams come out on fire and smoking and just rolling. And the other team kind of just says, oh, you know, we don't have it today. And for whatever reason, it hasn't made for some great football over there, but that's how it's kind of gone. So we'll see. Hopefully that team is the Raiders. I think that they're going up against, you know, a team that obviously is been back and forth, and no one really gave them a chance to be in the game last week, but they were in the game. And I think they still have that ability with Russell Wilson. I mean, anytime the guy's on the field, he has the opportunity to score a touchdown, make a big play. So you do have to be aware of that. But I do like the Raiders' chances this week.
David, you know, we talked about it last week. If the 49ers can't make the argument that they're going to beat a rookie quarterback on a winless team in their own stadium, where are you going to say they're going to win a game? And after losing at home to the Cardinals with 5 turnovers, I don't think anyone can honestly say that they expect the 49ers to do anything other than lose at Lambeau Field. But I will say this, as bad as the Niners have been, if there were ever a time in the last 3 or 4 years to catch a Packers team that might not have its eye on the ball, it feels like it might have been this week. It's too bad that they can't go in there with an actual shot to win this game, because they might have had one.
I really am with you. I mean, I think the Green Bay Packers, they're obviously everyone's pick. I mean, for the most part, you talk to guys around the network and anywhere you listen to the Packers, other Packers are going to be in the NFC Championship game, and they had a Jimmy Graham, and they're better on defense. And then you look at this team, and they've had some injuries and some issues, but they just haven't played very well on both sides of the ball. So it would be great to say 49ers got a chance to go win this game. Just the way they played last week against Arizona just wasn't, and they left a lot out there, and I thought they'd be better on defense. And they just got to rally around CJ. I know it's a bad situation. You know, every other team in the entire league is playing with their quarterback, and Jimmy is not there. And it's frustrating, and it's probably disappointing. But, you know, I know Kyle. I know that he's still in the meeting rooms, coaching as hard as he can, trying to design up some stuff, scheme some offense to where he can get some easy first downs, easy completions, and get something going. But you know what? If they keep this thing close in the first half, pressure shifts to the favorite. I mean, obviously, Green Bay playing at home, they're going to be excited. They're going to want to kind of bounce back. They've had some bad showings. So this looks like it might be an Aaron Rodgers, okay, I'm back. I'm actually a really good football player. Let me make some plays here. Hopefully San Francisco can kind of slow that down, because if they can keep it close by the second half, you know, then anything can happen. It's the NFL.
I tell you this, anything can happen in the NFL, and I do believe the San Francisco 49ers, David, set a record for earliest week flexed at a prime time. That's already happened, and what's amazing is that week 7 date was against the Rams. Like, I mean, that's how much Patrick Mahomes has captured the imagination, to the NFL being cool with taking their coveted LA media market at a prime time. That's something else.
It is kind of crazy, but I mean, when you watch that kid play, I mean, just watching what he did, you know, to Jacksonville last week, you know, you kind of sit back and say, well, who else is going to stop him? If the Jaguars couldn't stop him and they couldn't figure out a way to slow the guy down, well, who's going to stop the guy? I mean, so you roll in, you play the Patriots this week, and he's obviously got a test, and Belichick's going to have some tricks for him, and they're going to do some things to try and confuse him. But they just have so many weapons. You know, it would be one thing if he was just out there doing it on his own, like Josh Allen, maybe in Buffalo. But, man, he has so many weapons, and he's got a great play caller. He's got a great head coach, obviously. that's going to put him in a position to succeed. And they, and the way they coach him is just, that's my favorite. They coach him to not be afraid to make a mistake. You know, and it's easy to say that, but when you're out there and you get a guy through, you know, through an entire year, his first year, and then you let him kind of watch, and then you say, hey, you know what, when you go out there, don't worry about throwing interceptions, don't worry about making bad plays, just do what you do. That's so freeing, because I've been in positions before where I've been overcoached, and every quarterback that I've ever talked to has been in situations where they've been overcoached, and they've been told not to pull the trigger here, not to make this throw. And it just, it's great to see a kid out there having fun that enjoys the game like Pat does, and then is also able to play at a level that, I mean, really no one else is playing at right now. So I can kind of see why they flexed their guys out of prime time for him.
It's amazing. You know, you talk about the concept of being overcoached, and that might be one of the least discussed common trends among quarterbacks in football right now. I think there's so much wide open offense. Everyone wants to take advantage of it, and no one wants to make a mistake. And there is a little bit of a, it feels like instincts are hard to find these days. And that's what's really refreshing about Mahomes, because he's playing with a lot of instincts.
I completely agree with you. And, you know, I think Andy Reid, and I've talked about this before, but he saw, obviously, what he saw in a young Brett Favre, a guy that was just kind of a wild, dying guy out there throwing the ball over the place, you know. And if you can just bring him in a little bit, you know, just a little bit, you don't want to break him completely where he's just wearing a saddle and cruising around the yard and looks depressed all the time. Just bring him in enough, give him some parameters on different reads and progressions, but then still let him be his guy. Because, you know, when he goes down the field and when it's second and 30, 99% of the league, you're going to end up punting. But with Pat, he found a way to escape out of the pocket, make a big throw, and then all of a sudden you got a first down, and it's just freeing to watch. It really is. Just exactly what you said. In a league where you do overcoach it, you overanalyze everything. They spent endless hours during the week trying to prepare for every possible scenario. He presents scenarios for the defense, you know, because of his not recklessness, but just ability to improvise and make plays. I think that's his best quality. And he really didn't even show that the first couple weeks. He's really started to show it these last few weeks, and it's been a lot of fun to watch.
Paralysis by analysis. We're talking with David Carr, former NFL quarterback. You see him on NFL Network, of course. As you watch film, you'll never be able to watch film without a quarterback's eyes. Comparing the film you used to watch when you were playing and the league was under a different rule book, and what you watch now when you watch film, do you see opportunity in places that used to not exist? I mean, is it that, you know, like, we think we can see it, but I think when a quarterback looks at a defense, it's like, you know, you can see the matrix. you can see things we don't see. Do you see openings that simply used to not exist when defenders were used to allow, you know, just go out there and thump you?
Yeah, well, absolutely. The physicality is completely different. And I'm not just saying that because I'm an old football player that, you know, tells about how tough it was when he was playing. It was just different. You know, there were things that guys could do as far as hits on the quarterback, hands on the receivers, hits down the field. There's no fear of going over the middle anymore. That's what I see the biggest thing is. The entire field is open. It used to be that you had to have a special player, albeit a tight end, a slot receiver. He had to have a special mental makeup to be able to go down the middle of a football field and cover two. And now we're sending everybody down there. If you got speed, fly down the middle of the field. No one's going to hit you. You're going to be fine. You'll bounce back up. Even if they do get you in the body, it's not going to be something that's going to end your career. I've seen guys' career ended. I've seen guys that never were the same from going across the middle. Some receivers, they used to say they won't even do it. They wouldn't even mess with it. And now you never hear that. You see guys flying all over the field. And so I think there's. I mean, it's fun. It's explosive. I would love to play in this era just because of I think the RPO, the run-pass option, has changed the game. I'm so thankful that it actually made its way from college to the NFL, because I think the NFL is actually behind at least a decade in that. And so guys like Lincoln Riley and these guys have kind of pushed the envelope. Even Chip Kelly. Chip Kelly brought some of that in here. You got to give him a little credit for that too. But, you know, it's been fun to watch the offense. But at the same time, and I'm not a defensive guy, and I don't really like defensive guys at all, but I do kind of feel for the defenses when I watch film, because I don't really know what you do. I don't know how you stop these guys, because you can't hit the quarterback high, low at all. You know, and you can't apply any pressure. Where Al Davis used to say the quarterback must go down and he must go down hard. That's non-existent anymore. Like, you can't even do that.
Right.
I mean, Von Miller's having to relearn how to tackle guys, and he's an incredible athlete. He's learned how to do it. He can pull up when he's about to slam a guy to the ground and not hit him. But man, it would be really difficult to play But we have another brother, Darren, and he's the head coach of my boys' team down here in Bakersfield where Derek went to school. And he has a boy that's in seventh grade, and he's a defensive lineman and plays center, and he's a big kid. And he's like, he's not playing defense. He's going to play center, so get used to it. Dave, you got to come let him get some snaps with your son because that's what he's doing. So he won't even play defense anymore because the game has changed so much from even when he was playing. So it's tough, but it's fun.
No doubt about it, man. We were saying that Robert Saleh, the 49ers defensive coordinator, picked a bad time in just the history of football to try to be a defensive coordinator. David, we got to get out of here this. Buffalo rookie Josh Allen has been sacked a league-high 19 times. I know you've seen that movie before. Is there a sack total where he automatically gets a call from you out of sympathy?
Man, I would love to reach out to Josh. I have on Twitter and social media just kind of. But I wouldn't. If he answered me back, it would just be like, oh, man, here we go. You know, Josh is feeling bad for himself. He's just trying to stick his head forward and go to work. But honestly, I watch it, and it's just not fair. Like, the Buffalo Bills should have – they should be forced to trade him and put him on the bench. Like, you can't put the kid in that situation. I've been in that situation. There are long-term effects from that stuff. Like, it took me a long time before I even got on another team where I could actually trust what – was happening in front of me. Like the New York Giants, it literally took until I played with New York before I could say, I absolutely trust what's happening in front of me. I'm not going to get smacked in the side of the head. And then I was able to play some good football, but it was too late then. I was a backup quarterback, and when I'd go in, we had success, but I never got another shot. So for Josh, you just hope that they don't do that to him because it's very real. It is very real. So hopefully they take care of that kid.
Awesome stuff to end with. David, thank you so much, man. Have a good week. Have a good show, and we'll talk to you again next week.
All right, buddy. Thank you.
It's a fascinating final point made by David Carr on the way out the door. A young quarterback's confidence can be crushed in the wrong system behind an offensive line. And it stays with you. Not just like, I don't trust these guys this week. It's, I don't trust that position until maybe I'm on another team. Wow. That is some really interesting honesty from David Carr. We're going to come back and talk about that here on the Damon Bruce Show. 888-957-9570. How's your confidence? Here on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Good to have you here on 95.7 The Game. I was just trying to come up with all the pairs of brothers who have quarterbacked in the league together. It's a short list. It really is. I mean, obviously the Mannings are the shining example of both these brothers had quite a bit of success here in football. The Mannings, we've got the Hasselbecks, we've got the McCowns, we've got Jordan and Carson Palmer, I believe they're brothers. And of course, we got the Carr boys, David and Derek Carr. They were talking, we were just talking with David about what I think is just fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. The race that really every single quarterback is trying to run. They're trying to learn the league and master it before the league gets to their body and starts breaking down. And it's tough. It is really, really hard to play quarterback in this league. I know that one of the storylines that you see out there everywhere in football is that it's so much easier to be a quarterback now than ever before. And there might be elements of this game that are easier on the position of quarterback now than they used to be. But it ain't easy. Nothing that you're looking at on that football field can be classified as easy. Everything is hard. Everything is a challenge. The guy that you're watching do it is one of the best in the world at doing it. And if he makes it look easy, that's because he's that good at this. Other guys get thrown into a position and it looks hard. And it's not hard because they don't have the skill to do it. They just might not have. Because normally skill is something that you see all over this league. But guys just aren't ready for the moment. C.J. Beathard is getting beat up behind this offensive line. C.J. Beathard has not played a game of football where at the end of it, we aren't all collectively saying, Yeah, it's really good that he's still alive, don't you think? Every single time this guy breaks the huddle, someone's trying to break his face. He is the crash test dummy of NFL quarterbacks right now. And you just heard David Carr talking about how a guy like Josh Allen, who is getting crushed behind a terrible offensive line in Buffalo, really needs to start worrying about his own psyche. Confidence. Not having confidence in a position group that you depend on for your own ability to stand upright and deliver the ball, that's got to weigh on you. And it was really something else that David Carr just told us, that he did not feel confident playing in football behind an offensive line until he got to New York, was a backup, and it was kind of already too late. Just when he was getting his confidence back, he had already lost his position as starter in this league. So the race that he was trying to run, he didn't cross the finish tape on time. I think it's fascinating. It's got to be tough. Just because one guy has the DNA, the actual makeup to be a professional athlete, doesn't mean that the next guy, the brother, the guy is directly related to, is going. I'm looking at this. If you can come up with another pair of brothers who have played the position of quarterback, other positions, it seems to happen a little bit more. I mean, you got the McCourty boys in New England. You got the Watt brothers right now putting on a sack race. Houston Texan defensive end and Pittsburgh Steeler outside linebacker T.J. Watt, J.J. Watt, they're brothers. Right now, Watt tied with Cincinnati Bengals defensive tackle Geno Atkins for first. TJ picked up his second AFC Defensive Player of the Week award, so maybe there is a little something to that family tree. Who is the more successful quarterback, David or Derek Carr? I guess we haven't seen enough out of Derek to really say. David was never put in position to really be successful, and you could say that Derek has been, and right now is more successful. I don't care that he's won more Super Bowls or won more Super Bowl MVPs, I guess, but I'll take Peyton over Eli. Tim Hasselbeck, Matt Hasselbeck, I'm not sure there's much of a difference. Luke, Josh McCown, again, not sure much of a difference there. Jordan and Carson Palmer, clearly Carson, the superior brother there. Man, it's just, it ain't easy to play in this league. C.J. Beathard, he now has to go take on the most mismatched quarterback matchup in football this week, Aaron Rodgers versus C.J. Beathard. Beathard knows to have a shot. He's going to clean up a lot of problems that he himself caused.
It's not rocket science. It's just little stuff. You know, it's a game of inches. One, whether I step up in the pocket 2 inches more, ball doesn't get taken out of my hand. That with a one interception off Pierce, then of Pierre's hands, it's a game of inches. And obviously the 4th and 20 is just you got to make a play. But yeah, it's nothing that can't be fixed. It's just little stuff.
You would say it's nothing that can't be fixed, but it's hard to fix things when you're banged up just about everywhere you look, and that's what Kyle Shanahan was talking about.
I mean, I think that's every team. I think I just listed 8 guys on offense who aren't going today, so that's 8 out of 11. There's already 2 on IR, which make it 10 out of 11. So regardless of any situation you're in, I think that's something I haven't been a part of much in my entire career. But yeah, the more that you are at a place and longer, the more you build not just your starters, but also your depth, and you shape the whole roster that way. So a little yes, but more no. More it's be a struggle for anybody, no matter how long we've been here.
Aaron Rodgers, he hurt his knee on opening night, and it hasn't exactly slowed him down from being one of the best quarterbacks still in football. I know the Packers feel like they've slowed down being one of the best teams in football, but Rodgers, still the man, even though he's a little banged up. Head coach Kyle Shanahan.
He's still the best, or is tied for the best on the planet. So he always has been. He's the man. So I know he's not 100%. Everyone knows that, but seems to get a little bit better each week, and he's still the best. So good player. 40 might not be the same, but he's still moving around in that pocket good, buying time, and can make any throw on the field at any time.
I know we're not as excited as we should be, as we wanted to be. I basically was doing an interview today on a Milwaukee radio station, and I think I left everyone depressed because it's just, the situation that this was supposed to be and what it developed into and what you thought you were getting. I don't want to say that there was a bait and switch here, because we all know what happened, why certain players were switched, but it was supposed to be the year that at least pointed you in the direction of Jimmy can play 16 games. We got our quarterback. This is a developing product. The whole thing got put on hold with no other option in sight. That's just brutal. Absolutely brutal. Kyle Juszczyk's going to join us in about an hour from now. The 49er fullback is the player of the week that we're going to be talking to inside the 49er locker room. We've also got Steve Kerr, who will be a weekly guest every Thursday, normally appearing at 5 o'clock. Today, Steve Kerr is going to join us live at 6 o'clock, and we're really looking forward to his appearance. Today, he got the great news that he has been named assistant coach to the USA men's national team. The head coach is, of course, Greg Popovich. His assistants are now Steve Kerr, Nate McMillan, and Villanova University head coach Jay Wright. So what does a national team coach in 2019-20 upcoming season have to prepare for? Well, in 2019, you get the FIBA World Cup, which is going to be happening in China. We'll assume that Team USA qualifies for that. I think it's safe to assume that the team will also qualify for the Summer Olympics. The 2020 games coming up in Tokyo. I think this is a step to, I think, Steve Kerr becoming the head coach of USA basketball one day. I really do. Greg Popovich, a little bit older. You know, you look around, Nate McMillan. How are you going to give Nate McMillan the gig over a guy who has won so prolifically and deals every single day with basically the United States Olympic team? I mean, it's amazing. Steve Kerr can basically call a meeting of Team USA in the middle of a Warriors practice and half the team is already there.
That's true.
It's an embarrassment of riches. It really is.
No doubt. It does seem like Kerr would be the logical next head coach for Team USA.
And I do not want to devalue anything Nate McMillan has accomplished or anything Jay Wright has accomplished. But when you're looking for, like, really the right poster child to be leading Team USA, it does feel like Steve Kerr is so suited to be that guy. And this is just another absolute leg up on the league that the Warriors have against everyone else. Not that the head coach is as involved in landing a free agent as a head coach of a basketball team is landing a recruit. How much of an advantage was it for Mike Krzyzewski to walk into any kid's living room and say, look, not only am I the head coach at Duke, but I'm also the head coach of Team USA. Like, when you're watching the Dream Team, I'm the guy that coaches them. So I know what excellence is. I rub shoulders and elbows with it every single day. I mean, excellence is, you know, I change in the locker room next to excellence every single day. Steve Kerr now gets that honor as well. Sure, he gets to deal with all the Warriors stars. Now he gets to go deal with every single high-profile, great player. He will also meet a bevy of lower-profile great players on the come as Team USA has its scrimmages against the college elites. Like, he is really going to get the world of basketball opened up to him through this opportunity alone, and it was pretty opened up to Steve Kerr as it was. But now he gets to enjoy all the prestige that comes with, yeah, I'm a coach on Team USA, and he gets to circulate around all these players and all these players as they consider their NBA futures. How can you be around Steve Kerr and not say to yourself eventually, geez, I wish I played for that guy? Playing for that guy was an unmitigated delight. I've never heard any coach I've ever had talk about joy as much as Steve Kerr seems to talk about playing with joy. I think that's what players are looking for. And I really hope that at the end of the year, that's what Kevin Durant realizes, that he's not going to walk into a better situation. The only thing he could do is walk away from a situation that will never be as good as if he had just stayed. And I really hope that that ends up keeping him here. Last night, Kevin Durant walked away from an NBA preseason game after he was fouled out and after the Warriors were served up yet another terrible offensive call. Well, Kevin Durant basically had seen enough.
The NBA is doing us, you know, always, you know, trying to figure out ways to make our league better, make the game play better. The referees are working hard in the summer to figure that stuff out. It's a great time to try to put it in uses in preseason, you know, and it's not one of those things where I'm going to be pissed after the game because I know they're trying to do a job and I know they're going to make adjustments as well.
But he was pissed during the game. Kevin Durant fouled out. He was sitting on the baseline. When there was a bad offensive foul call, I can't remember who it was against. It might have been Jordan Bell. He just basically got up and left. Like, disgusted. If he had been on a date, he would have thrown his drink in the NBA official's face. It was really a moment where he was upset. You could see it. And look, the Warriors are trying to set a tone that we're the show. When we're on the court, you work around us. And last night, look, it's just a preseason game. We're not going to get worked up about much. The amount of foul calls that the Lakers got, like Brandon Ingram, I think, went to the line like close to 20 times. Kevin Durant got there twice. 17 times for Brandon Ingram. Absolutely. Let's give Brandon Ingram the benefit of the doubt on everything. Kevin Durant? Nah, you aren't fouled. Already, Steve Kerr. Working these officials.
I'm pretty confident that they're not going to call 65 fouls and foul Kevin Durant out in 24 minutes when the regular season starts. I'm pretty confident in that. Officiating is an art form. There's a flow to the game that has to happen. And I think right now we're putting the officials in a really tough spot because we're just having them call everything. I know it's preseason. We're trying to, you know, make sure we have these points of emphasis, but there's got to be some flow to the game, and there's got to be some pace, and that's what people come out to see, and that's what makes the game beautiful. But I'm very confident that we'll see that sorted out. The league always does a great job of making sure the pace and the flow of the game is good. Ironically, that's the point of calling things tighter off the ball, is to improve flow and improve pace. It's not going to happen with 65 fouls.
Thank you very much, Steve Kerr. He is always the level head of reason in just about any room he's standing in, which is probably why he's now one of the assistant coaches for Team USA. Couldn't help but notice that was a Warrior-Laker game that looked unlike any other we've seen in a long time because Mr. LeBron James was out there. What did he think of that experience?
Not much conversations.
Sorry. This is LeBron talking about Lonzo. Lonzo Ball. Who, by the way, has already lost his job to Rajon Rondo. Did anyone else see that? I wonder if things go bad, or if, let's just say, if the Lakers are far behind a playoff pace early on in the season, do you think LeBron James will turn on Lonzo Ball or Luke Walton first? I really wonder. Anyways, here's LeBron talking about the fact that, you know, getting on the floor with the Golden State Warriors in a Laker uniform, like, that was fun. And he definitely felt a little love for his guy, KD.
Not much conversations, but the mutual respect is always there. Obviously, you know, my relationship with KD goes a little bit deeper. But, you know, I've known Steph for a long time, and to being able to compete with Clay, you know, that mutual respect will always be there. And you know, so it's fun to get back on the floor versus those guys.
I mean, you better watch out, Golden State Warriors. That guy's trying to poach your squirrel. That guy is absolutely coming to poach the squirrel that is Kevin Durant. He wants it. He's already like, hey, you guys want to do a rap album together? Durant's like, okay. He's already recruiting. There's no doubt. He's pouring everything into KD's ear that he wants to hear. You know that LeBron's pitch doesn't start with come to LA. It starts with a whole bunch of reasons why he has to leave Golden State. They're always going to call you a snake. They're always going to call you someone who had to join a great team to win a title. If you come down to the Lakers, no one thinks we're as great as they're built to be. Maybe if you win with us, you'll get the respect that you're not getting now. Like, don't tell me LeBron James isn't a master manipulator of the media. He absolutely is. And I think he's already starting to master manipulate Kevin Durant.
Probably. I mean, if KD falls for it.
Well, I think KD loves every single thing he hears from LeBron James. I think he does. I think he's like, ah, finally, a guy who gets me.
But, it, I mean, he would be, I think he would have the same level of dislike to us. Maybe not as bad as it was when he left the Thunder, but if he goes to the Lakers. There's going to still be that following of, well, now you're going to go play on a team with LeBron.
Right. Are you ever not going to join a team where the guy on the team hasn't already been named NBA MVP?
I think the only way he gets away from that is if he's like the alpha on the next team. Like he, it's him. Right. He's the LeBron. He's the Curry. It's him.
I'm the only New York Knick worth watching.
That's how he's going to erase any of that hate about him leaving and coming to the Golden State Warriors.
What I would suggest is that there's really no way to do it, and it shouldn't concern you to begin with. Like, you have reached a level, if you're Kevin Durant, where the only thing you should care about is the size of your trophy case, the size of your paycheck. Forget about the noise. Forget about the noise on the internet. I mean, God almighty. Really, I mean, here's the deal. This is the honest to God's truth. It's going to sound oversimplified, but it is the honest to God's truth. If Kevin Durant at the end of this year decides to leave the Golden State Warriors, the main reason will be the internet. Dead serious. That will be the main reason Kevin Durant left the Warriors, not because of the situation, not because of there was a guy or teammate he couldn't get along with. It wasn't because of the power structure, the way it was set up. It wasn't because you're not moving into a brand new building or anything like that. It wasn't because of anything other than snake emojis on the internet.
You think that would drive him, just that factor?
Yes.
Wow.
The fact that he's not all in right now on a permanent, long-term, never wearing another uniform level of commitment to the Warriors means snake emojis bother him. Because if he came here for basketball-only reasons should be enough to keep him here. So if it isn't basketball-only reasons that are driving you out of town, it must be the snakes.
Yeah, because if you take the internet out of the equation, what, I mean, how could he not be happy here? Right? I mean, he would have to be happy in the situation.
Championships galore, the best working environment you could come up with in any HR department that has ever existed. You have cool people around you. You have egoless megastars who are thrilled to share the floor with you. As a matter of fact, they went out of the way to recruit you. And remember, this wasn't about not one, not two, not three, not four, not five. Here's the thing. There's never been a not four. That's all you need to worry about. Forget about the five, the six, the seven. If you're seriously looking at four, how do you walk away from the opportunity to win four in a row? How do you do that? How do you do that and tell me it's all about winning? It's all about football from there. 888-957-9570. You're certainly invited on in the show. We've got the 5 Before 5 coming up in just a little bit. Kyle Juszczyk joins me at 5:30, the 49er fullback. Harvard grad is going to join us. Big Brains coming up at 5:30. We've got Steve Kerr at 6 o'clock. Live at 6, Steve will normally be joining us at 5 o'clock on Thursday afternoons, but today he joins us at 6. Today is also the day the Raiders have pushed off for jolly old London Town. Stop asking about Khalil. I can't believe they left so late. How do you not, since your last game was a road game, right? Where the Raiders were at StubHub Center.
San Diego, they were in L.A.
Right. Blech. How do you not just get on a plane at LAX and fly straight to London then? Why would you even bother coming home?
Yeah, get some rest.
Why wouldn't, yeah.
Fresh. Yeah, but, a little fresher. Oh, yeah, gotcha.
Look at it this way. I'm pretty confident you're going to lose if you fly to Miami, much less London. That's a whole bunch more hours in an airplane. A whole bunch more. I don't believe that any sleep study told the Oakland Raiders Well, we've done the math, and the actuarial tables say that you should leave at 7:30 on Thursday. No. By the way, I've traveled internationally. It takes about 3 or 4 days to really feel like, all right, my, here's a math word for you, or a science word. Circadian rhythm?
Circadian rhythm.
My circadian rhythm is really where I want it to be, feel good. It takes about 3 or 4 days. And if you get there on Thursday and you're playing on Sunday, I don't know if you got the 3 or 4 days built in, but if you had gotten there on Monday and had 6 days before you played football, it makes a lot more sense. Maybe Mark Davis is either trying to save money on hotel rooms, or he couldn't find a P.F. Chang's close enough to leave to Wembley Stadium, so he wasn't going to do that.
Maybe they just want to get in there and out. Less time to deal with all the extra stuff that comes with being overseas playing in London.
Maybe, just maybe, they're trying to sabotage their chance to win. Ooh, that's the hottest take in the world. We're not going to go with that one. Yeah, we're not going to go. There's no way that John Gruden would intentionally try to, you know, go belly up this season for another day, come back and win tomorrow. Like, that would never happen, right? Yeah, never. 5 before 5 coming up next here on the Damon Bruce Show.
Some things you need to know. Some things you want to know. It's 5 before 5 on 95.7 The Game.
Oh, it's the headlines, the deadlines, and the stories that might have slipped through the cracks. Welcome to a little segment we call 5 before 5, starring the one and only and the fabulous Gianna Franco.
All right, you ready?
Ready.
Let's have a little fun.
Number one.
Bigger than basketball is basically what this is all about. Joel Embiid signing an endorsement deal with Under Armour, which is very cool. 76ers star signed the deal with the clothing and footwear giant, which the multi-year deal makes Embiid the NBA's highest paid big man on a shoe deal. And that's according to The Athletic in an essay published on Under Armour.
Historically, big men don't sell shoes.
That's true, but... Steph
I remember
Curry.
When Patrick Ewing tried to sell his Ewings, and they were just the clunkiest, chunkiest looking, ugliest things like ever.
Well, I think Under Armour's hoping that it's a nice balance because you've got Steph here on the West Coast. You've got Embiid on the East Coast. He's going to have a completely different style of shoe versus what Steph has. So kind of a nice, you know, a nice balance, a nice fit, something a little bit different.
Well, and look, Joel Embiid is also Mr. NBA social media. He has pretty much perfected that, like he's perfected his early footwork. And he's got great footwork, which is, you know, you want to be associated with if you're Under Armour. It does sound like a very good brand ambassador. I'm not surprised Under Armour invested in him at all. He is very talented, and he seems to have a real deal, easy to sell, easy to like personality.
Definitely. And I kind of love what his whole concept is, why he sort of joined Under Armour, because they're a little bit different. He wrote an essay, which is on Under Armour's website, where he talks about that when he sat down to talk about this possibility with them, that he was really focused on doing something bigger than just basketball, bigger than just shoes, really trying to leave a mark. He wants to help change people's lives. So they're going to sort of help, you know, make that avenue, maybe with the marketing. Who knows how? But, you know, like, this gives them another chance to sort of, you know, leave something behind.
I got a nickel that says Under Armour put the most amount of money on the table, too.
Well, that probably helps his cause, I'm sure. But let's think of the positive, David.
Sure.
Anyway, Steph Curry, of course, welcomed him on Twitter. That's our boy. 5 days till tip-off, game one. Played a role in his recruitment. Currently, Curry reportedly sent him a message, encouraged him to join the brand, and, you know, help grow the company together. So I think it's a nice fit.
You're like, I was going to go with Nike or possibly Puma, maybe Reebok, but then Steph Curry sent a lovely muffin basket, and I'm going with Under Armour.
Number two.
Why not? Well, Snoop Dogg, who, you know, we love, but apparently Snoop Dogg. Yeah, do you not love Snoop Dogg?
Well, here's the thing. I respect the longevity of the career more than I love Snoop Dogg.
Who doesn't like Snoop Dogg?
Well, I didn't say, I appreciate
who we like. Is that better?
Okay. We like Snoop Dogg.
All right. Well, apparently he is now becoming the biggest.
He's got one album. One album. He's a 30-year career based off one album.
If you can make a 30-year career off of one album,
that's
pretty dope.
Look at it this way. Imagine, like, Snoop, imagine if Fabulous were being talked about daily 30 years from now. Like, that would be pretty impressive. You'd be like, wow, Fabulous. Didn't think you had it in you.
He's got a lot going on, Snoop. Apparently, he's going to be the latest bandwagon fan for the Cleveland Browns. And
oh, yeah.
I know what a lot of people might be thinking. Most recently, Snoop was a big supporter of the Steelers. Well, I guess that's not the case anymore.
No, here's the deal. You cannot be a Mr. Pittsburgh guy and at any point pivot to anything Cleveland. I reject this on the notion of sports bigamy. No. You're doing it wrong, you bandwagon jumper. But he's always jumped bandwagons. I wouldn't be surprised to see Drake's next album feature two tracks starring Baker Mayfield.
Biggest bandwagon jumper, Drake or Snoop?
They're both pretty disgusting.
Even?
I will give, I got to put it, though, I think, on Drake because he's associated with Kentucky basketball, which will always make me hate him just a little bit more.
Well, he cruised around practice, of course, met Baker Mayfield, said hi to a lot of people. And later on, Hugh Jackson commenting on Snoop's visit. Check this out.
No, Snoop is. I've known him for quite a while. Been around some other places I've been. I'd say what teams they were. But it was good to have him out for a moment. You know, a lot of guys seen him on the sideline. And his message was, man, you guys are doing some good things. Some really good things. And I thought that was great. But at the same time, there were going to be a lot of people that want to come be on this wagon when the wagon gets rolling, and we're going to circle the wagon. And I know that because I didn't see any of these people for the last 2 years. You know, I'm still the same guy, still knew all these people prior to this year. We're not going to get caught up in any of that. You know, our players won't, you know, and that's my word and my message to them.
Who cares if someone is rooting for your team? Don't you? Isn't that what you want? More fans, more Brown, more Cleveland fans. It's weird.
Here's the thing, though. In Cleveland, it's different. There's been so much misery in Cleveland. They do not want anyone at the party who has not suffered with them. If there's going to be a party, you're not allowed in unless you've been suffering up to the moment we were ready to throw the party. So you just can't come crash the party. Like, I totally get this anger about bandwagon jumpers that Browns fans are now experiencing. Because here's the thing. You cannot tell me for 15 years I ain't cool. And then starting on Monday morning, I got cool. Screw you. I would be pissed off, too. I would be just a teensy-weensy little bit. But I didn't look at it this way. I didn't hear the Chad Paisley's bandwagon jumper press conference. So that sounded a little bit more like an F you to Snoop than actual the bandwagon. I got to be honest with you. Yeah.
It was not positive at all. It was very strange.
By the way, I love how Hugh Jackson's got like zero discipline to offer his entire team. But he's going to come down heavy on Snoop.
Number three.
All right, Mitchell Trubisky, the Chicago Bears QB, is not going to mess with success. So he confirmed on Wednesday that for the second straight game, he intends to wear a compression sleeve. He was wearing it when the Bears took on the Dolphins on Sunday. Now, the last time Trubisky wore the sleeve, he threw a career best 6 touchdown passes in Chicago's 48-10 victory over the Buccaneers. So apparently why he started wearing it was because in the game against Arizona, he had a cut on his arm and it kind of busted open. And so he put the sleeve on so there wasn't like blood everywhere.
Sure.
But apparently that sleeve gave him power and he's now crushing it. So he will always continue to wear the sleeve until this continues.
Hey, double bag it, and that should be 12 touchdowns. Wear 2 compression sleeves, wear compression shorts, wear Spanx. I don't care.
Spanx.
Whatever you got to do to feel good about yourself, the formula remains, and always will be, look good, feel good, play good. I don't care what you got to do. Look good, feel good, play good. If you got to put Under Armour or, eye black all over to the point where you put it down your face like you're wearing a mask, do that. Do whatever you need to do. I like it. Whatever you need to feel swaggish, Mitch, that's what I want for you.
It's a little bit of a superstition, though. I think he feels like, oh, this is working.
Look good, feel good, play good.
Don't change it.
That's it. Look good, feel good, play good every single day. Never.
Number four.
Never doesn't work.
That's true. All right. This is an interesting story. Former Panthers wide receiver Ray Caruth getting out of prison, Damon, later this month.
First of all, like, how is that guy even up for parole?
Well, I guess he, less than 18 years after he was convicted of conspiracy to commit murder, he's scheduled for release on October 22nd. So he was convicted in 2001, this after the 1999 shooting of his pregnant girlfriend. Their son, Chancellor Lee Adams, actually turns 19 in November. He was born with severe developmental disabilities, but Caruth has claimed that he actually wants to rebuild a relationship with his son. Again, this was the baby that his pregnant girlfriend was carrying at the time of her murder. Caruth, a former first rounder from Colorado, he is now 44 years old. So, yeah, I know. I thought that was kind of interesting, too.
Look, I...
Service time, rehabilitated, I don't know.
There are a few things that should mean you don't get a second chance. And here are the criminal charges that were laid out against Ray Carruth. Conspiracy to commit first-degree murder, shooting into an occupied vehicle, and using an instrument to destroy an unborn child. Those sound like you shouldn't be getting out in 20 years from now type of charges. Ray Carruth should have to only look at it this way. He should never be allowed in a car again unless he rides in the trunk. What a horrible human being.
Isn't that they also, I think when he was trying to get away, they found him in his trunk, right? Like he was trying to hide in a trunk.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. This guy, that's a shocker. That's a shock. How does a guy like this get out? Was he like,
it's surprising. It's a considering what he conspired to murder his pregnant girlfriend.
I mean, but
it's
how do you get out so early? I mean, this guy's either got a great lawyer or he went the old Avon Barksdale route and he cooked up all these, you know, hot packs to come on in. And then they turn around and sort of get the guard who snuck him in. Like, how do you get out in 20 years when you did the most heinous, most awful thing possible? I mean, God. All right, Ray Carruth, everybody.
Welcome back to society very soon.
Yeah.
Number five.
All right, how about a fun story? Thanks
Please.
To a 70-year-old prediction, a Brewers win on Friday means free burgers for all of Wisconsin. So apparently, back in the day, there was this local restaurant chain called George Webb, owner, and he promised patrons free hamburgers if the Brewers win 12 games in a row. Well, time passed on. It never really happened. Fast forward to 1987 when the Brewers actually opened the season with 13 wins. So that satisfied the 12 and Wisconsin got free hamburgers. Well, the chain has now like changed hands. There's new ownership. So they're keeping the tradition alive. And right now, Milwaukee, I guess the team's winning streak stands at 11, dating to September 23rd win against Pittsburgh. So they have yet to lose in the postseason. Now, that includes game 163 against Chicago to decide.
Thanks
the
for bringing that up.
Of the
I
National
appreciate
League
it.
Central
yeah,
Division.
Thank you.
Well,
more
I just
want
to have the accuracy of the story out there. Make sure you have all the information. So if they win on Friday, free hamburgers for everyone in Wisconsin.
There isn't a state that would probably sign up for a free hamburger faster than the state of Wisconsin. Got to respect their commitment to girth at all age groups. Who could be anti-free burger? That sounds like a great idea. I love a free burger. People love a free taco. People love a free anything. People would take a free dirty pair of socks if you were offering it. So, yeah, I'm pro burger. I wonder how the burger is.
Hopefully it's very good. Kind of a good time, though, to be a Brewers fan because the Brewers are hosting game one of the National League Championship Series at Miller Park tomorrow. And they had a bet when they were taking on the Rockies, Miller versus Coors, that if the Brewers advance, then Coors would provide free beer for Milwaukee. And that's happening as well on Friday. So could be a big old party.
Wow.
Sounds fun.
Beers and burgers in Milwaukee. I think you're only going to need a couple Kringles after that, and you're just ready to go.
Yeah, so on Friday from 3 to 5, there's hundreds of restaurants that will be providing free beer
because
of that bet against the Rockies.
If the Packers win the Super Bowl, I believe they're saying that free angioplasty. But they're going to be free angioplasty for everyone in Wisconsin, even the kids. You get free angioplasty. Good for them.
It's kind of fun.
I love food bets. I'm surprised about the beer bet, though. You'd think that the folks at Miller wouldn't be comfortable with Coors going across the bar, free or not, at any point in time.
Well, maybe Coors will be paying for Miller beer. Doesn't specify, so that's actually a good point.
Right. Coors has to buy all the Miller Lights
exactly
that day. All right, that would make a little bit more sense
that could
than, here, let me take my product that you have literally, you know, taken. There's no way they're selling a lot of Budweiser or Coors at Miller Park.
Confirmed. Brewer fans can grab one free Miller Lite per person while supplies last. So they will be providing Miller Lite.
Wait a minute. So the brewery is like right here? What do you mean while supplies last? Supplies should go to infinity.
Well, and I mean, there's hundreds of places they can go. I mean, look at these lists. Like I'm showing Damon at least four pages of just different restaurants in Wisconsin, obviously.
That nice. They can go.
Well, so yeah, that's good that they paid up. By the way, 5 Before 5 brought to you by the California Academy of Sciences, where you can journey through a rainforest, outer space, and the deep sea all in one day.
I'm telling you, there's never a bad time to go to the California Academy of Science. That place is really cool. However, there is a bad time to try to be a NFL defensive coordinator, and that time is right now, and that is bad news for Robert Saleh, and that is where we're starting, 5 o'clock.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.